The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network, all here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. And on the show today, football, NFL and college with Dr. Bob and Chris Felica. We'll talk global football with Paul Carr, as a matter of fact, and from under a cloud of smoke, Jason Weingarten on the Major League Baseball playoffs and football. Major League Baseball playoffs feels like it was a week ago.
It really does.
All right. First of all, let's get to this. First of all, what a listless performance by the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Thank God I picked Washington in Survivor. With those black and gold uniforms. Oh, wait, that was Washington? Oh, sorry. Well, I'm out. If we were still back at the old place, we would run the Survivor record scratch drop.
Yeah.
But we just got lost in the move. So I'll do the old Kramer. I'm out. Yeah, but that's and then record scratch.
Not a survivor.
I'm done. I went with Washington in both of my remaining pools yesterday. And by the way, thank you to everybody on Twitter. There's too many of these to go through who were commiserating with me and hoping that I didn't do that last night. Thank you. That was very, very awesome of everybody. But I will just tell you that. And there was a couple people who were like, I knew it. I know. I'm like, bruh, my Washington franchise, I knew it, mocks yours. Like, it's a lifetime worth of that. You have to understand, again, that for me and the survivor pools that I had, picking Miami and Detroit would not have gotten me anywhere because I would have needed Miami the next week. I would have needed Detroit Thanksgiving and the week before Thanksgiving. So anyway, Washington, and I'm out of Survivor because that, Kelly, as someone who has watched every snap of this franchise for my entire life, that's one of the worst, the first half I'm talking, that was one of the worst performances, the most listless, flat performances I've seen from this football team in a long, long time. They lose, Washington does, to the Chicago Bears, who get off the schneid. Chicago wins it 40-20 as +220 dogs, 6-point underdogs in this ball game. And I mean, let's just, first of all, I have no problem with Washington on offense. Sam Howell was fine to me. I know he threw one bad pick, but it was 388 yards passing. Washington just kept passing the football. Howell was 37 of 51 for 388, sacked five times. I thought he was gritty when he was running, too. Again, it got out of a lot of jams running. It's the defense. I mean, no pressure on Justin Fields early. Getting gashed by Khalil Herbert on third and sevens for like 7 and 8 yards. And the worst of the worst, that secondary who just had receivers wide open behind them all game. And then when they weren't letting them wide open behind them all game, we're taking gambles, we're taking risks to intercept the pass. And that would get through them anyway. And the last one being the biggest one, Kendall Fuller took a risk to pick off that last pass on DJ Moore's third touchdown. DJ Moore, what a ball game. 8 catches for 230 yards, 3 touchdowns. The 230 yards, the second most receiving yardage in any game in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise. Alshon Jeffrey had a 249-yard receiving day. So congratulations to the Bears. I don't want to completely focus on the listless nature of Washington, but good on the Bears for, you know, again, flirting with losing the lead that they had. They were up 27-3, and it looked like this was going to be Denver revisited from last week. But they got it together with the biggest, by the way, and Jack Del Rio after the game described his defensive performance as just a dust up. It's also a joke, by the way. But Ron Rivera adding to the whole thing. When you knew the game was over for Washington, had nothing to do with anything but the decision, 4th and 2 at the Chicago 13, Washington had cut it to 27-11 at this point, 4th and 2 at the Chicago 13 with 3:17 left in the third quarter, and Ron Rivera decides to roll Joey Sly out there for a 32-yard field goal to cut it from 16-13, because again, as you know from this show, whenever you get the chance to cut a 2-score deficit to a 2-score deficit, you've got to take that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's when you know it was over. And Joey Sly missed a field goal later, which was really the end of that game. game, but that was the moment where you knew it was over.
Yeah, that one was bad. I don't want to let Chicago off the hook here either, as you're, as an 0-4 team rolling into this game, and they settle for that field goal on that second drive. It was like, what are you doing? Really? Like, it was 4th and 1 at what, like the 6 or something? Like, oh, bring out the field goal team. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they did it as well.
Like, that was awful, I thought, for a team that was going in 0-4. So, yeah, some questionable decision-making on both sides. For the Bears, also, you know, kind of crazy, right, Gil? Like, you let Justin Fields, a guy who's had trouble developing in the NFL, just roll out, you know, roll plays out of the shotgun more and do a lot of read pass option stuff, and things work a lot better. What do you know? So, yeah, he looked better last night. And, man, yeah, Washington's defense, like, it is. There were 3 guys on the Bears team that caught balls last night. Only 3. Like, maybe stop letting DJ Moore get so wide open.
It's just horrible. Just absolutely horrible. And the Josh Harris honeymoon phase now comes to an official end.
Right, yeah.
Not that it's his fault, but now he, as the new owner, and thank God, we still thank God he's not Daniel Snyder, now as the new owner, he's got to have watched that game last night and said to himself, self, oh boy, I got to start thinking about when this ends with Ron Rivera, whether it's at the end of the season, whether it's in the middle of the season. But that was unacceptable in every way last night from Washington.
I also didn't get, like, their offensive game plan. Like, I don't know if they just panicked when they got down, like, so much early, where they didn't really try to run the ball at all.
Ever again.
You know, I mean, Antonio Gibson had 4 catches and 0 carries.
Also, was there a stretch where Terry McLaurin was not on the field yesterday? That was interesting.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Anyway, it 40-20, the Bears get off the schneid. Now, the reason that the survivor ouster doesn't hurt that much is because, and I mentioned this going into the game, is there was a whole bunch of events, a confluence of events with this game last night. There was, you know, if the Bears had lost, would Eberflus have been fired? I have that bet. The other one that I have, though, for the big one was last winless team, the Carolina Panthers. And so, with that loss, that's a cashed ticket for those of us who had that bet at Circa, which I do. And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, how can that be? We, on Guessing Lines, I openly wondered out loud. I was like, if the Bears win that game against Washington, does Carolina last winless immediately cash? Well, and for those who tailed on this, and a lot of folks out there did, so congratulations to everybody. But for those who did it specifically at Circa, I don't know how DraftKings and other books have this wording, but at Circa, because I texted Jeffrey Benson at 9 p.m. Pacific last night. Jeffrey Benson, nicest guy in the world.
that receives so many random text messages from us at random times. Thanks, Jeff.
nicest guy in the world, and also has Thug Life tattooed on his abdomen. Let's not forget that.
When he hops on Twitter.
He hops on Twitter. But he immediately sent me back. He goes, it's a winner. I just talked to the risk team. It's a winner. And so I followed up with another question, and he sent me the rules. And the rules on this, and this is why you always got to check your rules for every single bet. The rules at Circa, and I want to read these verbatim on last winless, is as follows. For grading purposes, the timing of a team's first win and first loss will be to the minute, according to the NFL.com gamebook, start time plus length of game. And then it goes on to say, if the season is shortened from 17 games and a winner has not been decided, all bets will be refunded. But let's just talk about that for a second. So again, it's last winless team. Just literal definition, last winless team. Because the instinct, because even after I brought it up, right, and was thinking about it this week, I was like, well, that doesn't seem right, right? Because the same week, and just because Chicago happens to play on a Thursday and Carolina plays on a Sunday, why should Carolina automatically be the winner? But there it is in the wording. Now, let's just take this one step further.
And to be fair, real quick, on Guessing Lines, when we first brought up, me and you kind of were just like, yeah, this was it. Like, Thursday, they play on Thursday, well, they play on Sunday.
It occurred to me,
when
right?
When you take a step back and start thinking about it more, yeah, okay, maybe they handle this week by week.
Well, because on the ticket, what it says is last winless team. Right. Much like in 2020 during the French Open, what it says on your ticket is wins the outright. I'm just pointing that out. But I'm saying last winless team is what it says on your ticket, right? So
Circa's rules make sense.
So openly speculate. Yeah. So, but let me get to the point. Let's take this to another extreme, though. Had Chicago played a 1 p.m. Eastern game and Carolina played a 4 p.m. Eastern game on a Sunday, and Chicago had beaten Washington just like this on the early window,
still cash.
We would have cashed that way as well. Let me take it even further.
I know
ready?
Where you're going, yeah.
Let's say Carolina and Chicago both played in the 1 p.m. window.
Yeah.
But Chicago beat Washington minutes before Carolina's game even resulted in anything. Carolina would have gotten it. So, like, you can take this even to a further extreme as to how that's handled at Circus. So, again, does it suck to not be in Survivor? It does, because it's fun. Forget what you outlaid. This is the Carolina ticket more than made up for that. It's the not being able to have skin in the game kind of thing for the rest of the year. It's so much fun to talk about. Now, we will talk about Survivor. I'm not going to just abandon talking about it because I'm out, because it's still fascinating. But so does that suck? Yes. But if you're ever going to get knocked out of something like that, it helps to have a 15 to 1 cash on the other side of that. So anyway, that's why. And again, thanks to everybody who was commiserating, because that was the that's why you couldn't get too upset about it last night. And by the way, and I'll just say it again, that was the team for me to play. And again, when you're playing something like Survivor, you're playing it to win. And so you have to be okay with that choice. It's not about surviving. It just isn't. Because you have to get to the promised land on this. So whether you get knocked out in week 5 or week 15, that's the same. It's the same result on that.
This is maybe one of the ultimate check your house rules examples, though, on this last winless last undefeated, because I don't really think I have a problem with it either way. You know, from how each book is choosing to grade it, but obviously as a better, you need to know.
Well, it does bring up what Crack says all the time. These things need to be posted, right? Not everybody has Jeffrey Benson on speed dial.
Right.
As they say. We'll come back. We'll talk all things college football, soccer, and beyond. But more NFL on the other side. All of our NFL plays in Week 5 coming up. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
All right. We got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're also debating, by the way, what a team needs to do to get to number one. But Zyn nicotine pouches, well, the debate is over. They're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. By the way, when anybody tweets about it, 80 like jumps in. He's like, "That's my best flavor. I love that flavor."
I was just gonna bring it up. I believe it was wintergreen. Wintergreen is his favorite flavor.
That's my favorite flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, I teased soccer next when we went to break. I did not lie, but there's also a bunch of college football that Chris Felica would like to talk about. It's Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. So you forced me into a spontaneous, impromptu La Liga play this afternoon, because I just wanted to give you something to follow this afternoon. So we're going to go with Atletico Bilbao to keep a clean sheet against Almeria. Almeria, the bottom place team in the table right now in La Liga, plus 115 for Almeria under a half a goal. Atletico Bilbao, one of the better defensive sides in the Spanish lead, and Almeria will have difficulty, I think, scoring points. I'm looking at the point total right now, which is 3 points on the year, but scoring goals.
Yeah.
Suddenly cannot speak the English language. So Almeria under a half a goal today against Bilbao.
Yeah, they are going to have difficulty scoring points. You're right about that. All right, there's a soccer play. I did not lie. All right, college football, sir. By the way, the Bear Bets podcast, Thursday is college football day, Friday is pro football day. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Let's start with Texas A&M and Alabama. This is down, 2.5 now? Is that what the number is right now?
No, it's not. It's like a pick'em in a lot of places now.
Oh, man.
But my guess is that there are, I guess, reasons for that. One of them being that there is a rumor out there for a couple of days now that Jalen Milroe tweaked a hamstring in practice the other day. I haven't been able to confirm that one way or another, but if Milroe is unable to play, or if Milroe is limited and he's a statue back there, that's going to be a problem against a really good A&M defensive front. So it's amazing to think that Alabama may not be favored in this game, but I grabbed some A&M actually at three the other day, so I might be in a position now maybe where I can buy some of this back if it does wind up being where Alabama is an underdog. But I think it's a bad matchup for Alabama here. I think with the way we saw their offensive line being and defensive line being kind of dominated by Texas in that game in Tuscaloosa. The Aggies, a lot of times, kind of disappoint in these big showdown-type games. But I think here, it's funny, I brought something up earlier in the week about how the significance of this game for Alabama. If you lose, you're out of the national title race. You had two losses before October. You've got Texas moving in, who's already beaten them. And people actually, like, of course, scoffed at it. I'm calling for the end of the Alabama dynasty. But a lot of people made some sense on the other side, too, and said that it's a bigger game for Jimbo Fisher and A&M, because if you do beat Alabama, you're probably never going to get a better chance with them weaker as they are now. You beat them and everything's kind of in front of you. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is indeed some more pressure on A&M going into this game. So I like the Aggies, but I certainly don't like the fact that I'm in contention for a CLV trophy here.
They never want the CLV trophy. Alabama, by the way, just to be thorough about it, painted as a 1-point favorite everywhere that we look right now as we do this on Friday morning. All right, Red River, Texas, Oklahoma, Longhorns favored by 5.5.
Yeah, I actually wasn't planning on getting involved in this, but I think the fact that it's now 5.5, I'm gonna have to play Texas at 5.5. I think I just mentioned how Texas went to Alabama, dominated both lines of scrimmage, had the better receiving core. And typically, the better team wins in this rivalry. Like, there haven't been a ton of upsets lately in this series, and even historically, like, the better side typically wins. So, look, Oklahoma, their defense statistically has been much better than what it was last year. But you talk to people who have kind of dissected their film, and they don't see like massive improvement in terms of from where they were last year to this year. So maybe it's just kind of a little statistical anomaly. And maybe this is the week that the kind of that regression, maybe a reality sets in. Because look, Oklahoma, you're looking at games against Arkansas State, SMU, Iowa State, like Cincinnati, like not a lot of good offenses. So this is by far the best team Texas is going to play. I will say this, the wager that I would make if you don't want to lay the 5.5 with Texas is maybe play Texas to make the college football playoff. Because if the Longhorns win tomorrow, they will have a road win at Alabama. They will have a neutral win against Oklahoma. They don't have another ranked team remaining on their schedule. They go to that Big 12 championship game and they're undefeated and have those two wins in pocket and already will be one or two or three in the country, whatever they might be at that point. They might be in the TCU position of last year where they maybe don't even have to win a potential rematch against Oklahoma. So I would maybe look shop around and see what kind of number you can get on the Longhorns to make the playoff, because I think that's worth a bet.
And the loser still could have playoff aspirations, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I said, neither Texas nor OU have a ranked team remaining on their schedule. I think it's more so for Oklahoma, because maybe they could win out. But maybe there's not a belief that OU could ultimately win out, because maybe they're not as good as Texas.
Okay. Give us the rest of your best bets here. Oh, Kelly, want to chime in?
I like Georgia laying the points against Kentucky. I think this is a good buy low spot for the Bulldogs. Kentucky's a team that has had a ton of trouble scoring points against the Bulldogs. And typically, these games go under. I think under is the play. Georgia under is probably the way to go here. The last four meetings between Georgia and Kentucky, they've been like a total of 103 points. I don't see Kentucky scoring a lot. This feels like maybe a 23-7 type of game. So I'm going to go Georgia and under. I'm going to lay the 3 with UCLA against Wazoo. This has a look of an underdog with fleas type side to do the Cougars. Look, I love them, but I think UCLA with that defense who leads the nation in opponent yards per play, they've had the week off since the game at Utah. I laid the 3 with UCLA. And I like Syracuse plus 10 against North Carolina. There have been a bunch of instances since Mack Brown has returned to Chapel Hill where UNC has really struggled as a big favorite, as they are here. I might have been off a little bit on Syracuse. I didn't think they were going to be very good this year, but they actually are better defensively I would think Garrett Schrader will have a lot more success running this week than he did last week against Clemson. And remember, too, UNC has that big home game against Miami next week. So maybe this is a little bit of a peek ahead spot for the Tar Heels as well. So I'm going to take the Cuse plus the I found a 10 out there that I grabbed.
Do you want to say something, Kelly? You were chiming in on something?
No, I was just pulling up that Texas to make the playoffs price, minus 105.
Minus 105 on Texas to make the playoffs. Colorado, after getting housed by Oregon and I guess comporting themselves well enough against USC where they came out feeling good about it, losing 48-41. Never really had a chance to win it, though. They are now four-point favorites on the road against Arizona State. Where does the prime train land here in this one?
I certainly can't lay it with Colorado here for sure. Like if you look at Arizona State the last couple of weeks, like Kenny Dillingham is kind of like taking over the offensive play. I know they have some quarterback issues, but they've been very respectable the last couple of weeks, whether it's been against Cal or whether it's been against USC, rather. So they're scoring a little bit more points, and certainly they will find this defense much more amenable to giving up points and big plays. So yes, Colorado came back and made that score look closer than it was last week. This is still a team that's shorthanded on defense and at receiver. The offensive line is bad. Shedeur Sanders continues to get hit. It would be ASU or pass for me.
We have about a minute and a half left. I want you to chime in on this because I know you're not the biggest proponent of the 12-team playoff. I know you're not like super looking forward to that. As you look at the landscape of how the teams are this year, where it's really a lot more of a level playing field, do you has your mind changed on that a little bit, or are you still like, no, it's going to diminish the regular season? I mean, where do you stand on it?
I think it will. I mean, I think there are a lot of different thoughts in my head about it. I think this year it's interesting because I know Mitch and Paulie have asked this question earlier in the morning, like how many teams can legitimately win the national title? Maybe you could say 10, but on the flip side is what you said about the regular season, like Ohio State, Georgia, they're never going to play another meaningful regular season game again because they're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So I get it. We talked about this as well. Like, I don't like the 12-team playoff, but you know what? I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to be betting on all these games. It's like the baseball with the 37 wild cards they have. Do I like that an 82 and 18 to make the playoffs with a wild card? No. But here I am watching all these wild card games. So more product is good for us.
Yeah. Kelly, could you check on the veracity of that of a 37 wild card teams in baseball? I don't know if he's correct on that. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Approximately. Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Chris Velika, the Bear, at Chris Velika on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod, Thursday, college football, Friday, professional football. Now we'll do the real soccer, the global style, with Paul Carr on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use promo code VEGAS. When you sign up DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. George Zornick, yes, he's asking about what I talked about in the first segment. He goes, hypothetically then, if this was a 1 p.m. Sunday game and the Bears game ended at 3:58 yes. Eastern, while, say, the Panthers won at 4:01, also a winner? Yes. Yes. And Jeffrey Benson jumps in there and shows him the word-for-word rules on this. Again, that's when it says last winner, unlike some other sports books, they actually take their things literally, right? It's last win. So it is sort of counterintuitive. Even Kelly and I, like when I brought this up Monday, I was like, wait, does this mean that if Chicago wins on Thursday, I win my Panthers bet?
We kind of both jumped to assuming that and then kind of thought more about it afterward.
And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because exactly what the scenario we just thought, because if this team ends at 3:58, no, that's how they graded here. How they graded elsewhere, totally could be totally different.
It's an interesting house rules thing to me because it is, I think it, I don't have a problem either way with a sports book handling it either way. It's just, right. Like you say, you just got to make sure this stuff is, hey, if you're betting on this stuff, make sure you know these kind of rules if you get, especially getting a week like this.
And then dueling Survivor opinions. This is from Brett Liedka. He says, saving optimal teams in Survivor for down the road isn't the best strategy because the odds of a 10-point favorite losing in week 15 are equivalent to that of a 10-point favorite losing in week 5, Thanksgiving Day week not included. That must be planned for. Well, that's what I'm talking about, Brett, that I'm not playing Detroit because of Thanksgiving primarily. And again, no one is focusing on the fact that if I had 4 weeks where I was set up well, you play that different for the 4 weeks if you're not set up well. And I was chalk McChalkerson the whole way through. So that's why I played the way I played. Todd at Canarsie Born 65. Gil, been in Survivor for a long time and play it just like you. Here's why we play it right. Last year, we lost with the Bills versus Jacksonville, and the year before with the Rams versus the Jets. Both were late season games. I submit that over 90% of people would have wanted our position. Of course they would have. Of course they would have. It's not going to always work out that way, though. Yeah. So anyway, Survivor, everybody's got their thoughts, and I hope that you are still alive in Survivor and you can get to the promised land. But like I said, I ain't got nothing to be upset about with Carolina being the last winless team. Let's go under a cloud of smoke, Southern California. With Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, who was the first person among many to warn me yesterday, Gil, Dick Butkus died. You can't possibly play Washington. Jason Weingarten joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Yeah, that's it's funny how that worked out. I don't know how much credit you can give to Dick Butkus or Dick Butkus dying, but that's
Dick Butkus did. Won my Carolina bet for me. That's what it came down to. Thank you, Dick Butkus. RIP, by the way.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Okay. So you also got, like, literally, because Kelly was asking about this, because I mentioned this, that you had texted this earlier. This is, like, tell me the truth. How much do you firmly believe in superstitions like that, where you're like, I got to get off my Washington bet? You literally got off your Washington bet as soon as you heard that. Do you believe in stuff like that?
I mean, it's like the whole thing about, like, gamblers aren't superstitious. And then, like, you ever hang out with somebody and they're like, you can't do that. You can't sit there. You can't say that. You know,
Jason, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Even Dr. Bob, who we just have on, Dr. Bob is the most model driven numbers robot you will ever meet in your life. And I swear he was like on a 5 or 6 game winning streak in the NBA. One day we went to this place called, a Blue Barn in San Francisco, which has the most overpriced salads in the world, by the way. Shout out to Blue Barn. And we were sitting in the corner. I was on the right, he was on the left. And then one day he had a 5-game winning streak. I had the audacity to sit in the other. He goes, no, just sit over there. That's Bob. That's so awesome. I mean, you're 100% right, Jason, in that respect. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you ask every guest on your show, they'll have a story like that about doing something or, you know, something they won't do. I don't know. I mean, I thought Washington was the right side last night. I saw a lot of the bets I saw were all in Washington, you know, Washington -5.5. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really think Dick Butkus had anything to do with anything, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna buy off this game.
I
went out to dinner.
Good for you.
That's the thing. It's like, well, I didn't watch the game. I did follow almost the whole game on the live box score.
Yeah.
As most people do.
Wish I had done that. Watched every damn play. Okay. But first of all, what's your favorite, before we get to baseball, real quick, what's your favorite NFL bet this weekend? Do you have one?
Not much NFL, but I did bet some college this morning.
Oh, what'd you get?
Got a couple college plays I like. Real big on Arkansas this week. Arkansas versus Ole Miss getting 11.5 points. Ole Miss played Alabama and LSU back to back, which is pretty tough back to back week schedule. Now they got to cover 11.5 points. If you saw the last game, the LSU game last weekend, it was like, you know, your Plinko kind of thing, back forth, back forth, back forth, just so much scoring. I think Ole Miss probably gonna be a little tired this week. You get 12, it's showing on the screen. I think Ole Miss probably wins, but I'll take 12 points with Arkansas, you know, coming off the Alabama LSU back to back.
All right.
I think it's a good spot.
You had Jason Weingarten with an SEC play on their bingo card today.
Damn.
Mark it down. All right. Major League Baseball division round. I was joking earlier. It seems like it's been a week since the wild card round. Once a football game hits, you just forget baseball. Not you, though. What are your thoughts on all four of these series? Have you made bets on all?
I bet the Orioles series price -130. It was -130, I think.
Wait, -130
Rangers.
-130 was the game one price. They were more of a coin flip on the series, weren't they?
They got up to about -130. I see 125 right now.
Right now, okay. Earlier they were, right?
You got the fire alarm going off again.
Oh, you noticed. I was trying to act like I didn't notice. All right, go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah. Let's see what else. I have not bet Twins Astros series. I think the Astros probably win that in the end. I hopefully get an Orioles Astros ALCS. I'm thinking about laying the Dodgers. Haven't done that yet. I think the Dodgers sweep, honestly. I'm looking for some Dodgers win 3-0 props. And Phillies Braves. I can't convince myself to lay either side of the series price. Mm. I don't think the Braves necessarily win this.
Yeah, it's baseball, man. And the Phillies are good.
Everyone keeps, that's the thing. They're the defending World Series champions. They're great. They might run through the playoffs. They very well might run through the playoffs. They very well might, you know, lose this series to the Phillies. Phillies aren't bad. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Phillies just because they didn't win the division.
Yeah, and we've said it a million times. It's the most random of postseasons. It is. I mean, just
any one of these eight teams can conceivably win the World Series or end up in the World Series. Maybe not the Twins, but hell, even the Twins, I mean, you know, like nothing wrong with them. They got three good pitchers. They made it to the playoffs. Nobody really challenged them in their own division. It's a decent team.
Yeah, we had Joe Sheehan on yesterday, Jason. He said Twins over the Dodgers in the World Series. So
that probably pays a big price if you're going to bet that.
Yeah. Who do you have in the World Series? What's your exacta?
Baltimore Dodgers. Baltimore over Dodgers, Dodgers over Baltimore.
That's right. Yeah, both of them. Okay.
Haven't added anything else to that yet. I was thinking of maybe adding like a Philly versus Baltimore or something. It's crazy to think like, you know, oh, I'm very sold on Baltimore potentially being a World Series team, you know, coming off a, you know, wasn't very long ago they were losing 100 games a season. Oh,
trust me, I know. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I grew up on this team. Even I don't buy into their pitching this year. I think they're like a year away, but like, I mean, anything could happen for sure. So let me just repeat. So no series play on the Phillies and the Braves, but you took the favorite in the other three, meaning the Orioles, the Astros, and who am I forgetting? And the Dodgers. Did you play any game ones tomorrow?
No game ones yet. Thinking about betting the Dodgers. I really think the Dodgers kind of roll over the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks, you know, have done well to get here. I think they're a good team. I still just don't think they're going to match up against Dodgers here.
Are you going to play? You could be wrong. We all could be wrong. Are you going to play your blanket? Yes. First inning run scored in all four.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not. I've not had a chance yet to see prices and everything. I won't get to that till tomorrow. But it seems to be the way to go still.
Okay, Jason Weingarten, Major League Baseball quadruple header tomorrow. Then we play two games a day until Wednesday, when we'll have our last quadruple header, a couple game threes and a couple game fours, and then it's double headers from that point forward. Looking forward to it, man. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
See you next week. Should be fun. It's always fun when you get these individual games and they start to matter.
Oh, it's awesome. Nothing like October. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia, by the way, on the Twitter machine, who has been on fire, by the way, let me just say, on Twitter. Some tweets I can't repeat. Others, I'm going to use my discretion not to. How about that? Kelly's alternate season win totals in the NBA. More NFL next.